Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join us on this broadcast today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. We're asking the question today, can America survive? Can America survive? We're talking about the world events. We're talking about national events. We're talking about the eschatological, prophetic, biblical truth coming to the forefront. And we must ask the question, can we as a nation survive what we see taking place at this moment? Yes, I believe we're watching the spark of World War III taking place in Ukraine as I speak. We're watching the coming together of the five-nation alliance that's seen in Ezekiel 38 and 39, with Russia leading five nations to come against the little postage stamp, the apple of God's eye, called the nation of Israel. And when that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see the spark that is seen, felt, experienced around the globe in what I believe we could call World War III. The Bible calls it the war with Russia, Ezekiel 38 and 39. The Bible talks about it with the Lord Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 24, wars and rumblings of wars, rumors of wars. That word literally means rumblings of wars. I've said many times before, and may I repeat, once again, you can take a globe and spin it, close your eyes, spin the globe, put your finger on that globe, and it'll be rare to find a place that there's not some rumbling of wars taking place today. We're watching the fulfillment of the Word of God. We're seeing it take place on national news, on television. We're listening to it on radio, seeing it in the printed page as God's hand is at work. God's still on the throne. God's still in control. God's still sovereign. As I've said so many times before, God's not on vacation. He's not impotent that he cannot do something. He's not sick. He's never even had COVID. He's alive and well today. And for that, I am so eternally grateful that God is in control. He's watching what is taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement when the Lord Jesus says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the modus operandi, as I call it, of our life and living. It should be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway, and all that we do and say. It is the truth of the Word of God. But we're living in a society today where most are not interested in truth. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi certainly not interested in the truth. Joe Biden wouldn't recognize truth if it were written on his vest pocket card as to what to say and how to speak. It is the fact today, ladies and gentlemen, that the secularist George Orwell, 1947, 48, 49, the writing of that dystopian novel entitled 1984, George Orwell said this, and may I quote, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're watching that come about in the society in which we're living in today. There's a disdain for truth. There's a rejection of truth. This is the reason I am so appreciative of the former U.S. Senator that spoke so poignantly about that subject. Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator DeMint, Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me read you just a little small, brief paragraph of what former Senator Jim DeMint said about truth. He says, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, I like to drop back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I say this, as kind of a little parenthetical footnote on that statement, I believe we're living in the era, and each day getting closer to that very day, that our lives will be on the line if we stand for truth. Spiritual truth, religious truth, biblical truth, political truth, whatever realm of truth, we're going to be faced with a greater and greater incrimination, persecution, prosecution for telling the truth. In fact, multitudes today in the academic world, if a professor stands and says there's only two sexes, male and female, he's summarily fired for telling the truth. If a physician refuses to do transitional surgery on that one that is a little bit disturbed as to his sexuality, that physician then is summarily, his license are canceled, or he is fired from his position in the hospital or the activities that allows him to be there. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a hatred for truth. This is the reason each and every day on this broadcast, we try to bring to you the truth of events that's taking place on a global basis. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff that's knowledgeable of the questions that you would have about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Gigantic flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. I believe that flagpole is about 165 feet there with the flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag, in the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. It's a great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly environment because the places, the business is closed. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing you and your family to worship together as God would have it. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, invite you to drop in, visit them, make application for employment, wait for an invitation to be interviewed, and find that good position of employment at Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, will America survive? Can America survive? Is it possible that we're watching the demise of a nation? In Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we find, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, where God ordains that we pray for those that are leading us, pray for those, I call it the princes, the prime ministers, the presidents, and the potentates, pray for those that are in leadership. And I was just talking with our guest just a moment ago, and we were talking about the fact that as I pray, I'm saying, Lord, there are folks that need to be removed from office. You can do it, and I'm asking you to do it. And I don't mind anybody listening. In fact, I had somebody recently say, preacher, you mean you pray that God will remove some? Oh, absolutely. I'm praying every day God remove Joe Biden from office. Put someone in that's cognitively able to carry out the task, number one. Number two, put someone in that's not out for the destroying the nation and having a Karl Marx mindset of build back better. You've got to tear down and destroy what's here to build back. And that's the mindset of this administration, ladies and gentlemen. I'm highly concerned about where we're going. And as we watch at this very moment, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the war in Ukraine, the war with Russia in Ukraine. And as we watch that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe as the world watches it, we're seeing decimation of the nation. We're watching destruction and death of the people. I understand some 2 million people have already fled out of Ukraine for safety. I understand also, based on the world news out of Israel, that thousands and thousands and thousands of the Jewish people out of Ukraine, but to about 250,000, about 250,000 people that are Jewish people in Ukraine, are rapidly headed back to the homeland of Israel. We're watching the biblical prophetic text come to fruition each and every day. And ladies and gentlemen, why? I want to ask you some questions. We're going to set the stage. Then we're going to introduce our guest today. We're going to talk about these things on the air and ask you to join in the dialogue and discussion. The question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that Putin invaded Ukraine now? And why they did not invade, why Putin did not invade during the Trump administration? That's a fascinating question. I'm looking at an article that says, fear of Donald Trump kept Putin from invading Ukraine. Here's how Trump pulled it off. Dateline March the 3rd. Trump not only successfully deterred Russians from acting against Ukraine, he effectively deterred a lot of bad behavior across the planet. A recent Harvard-Harris poll found that 62% of Americans believe that Russia would not have invaded Ukraine if Donald Trump were still in the Oval Office. A former senior intelligence official under President Donald J. Trump agreed with that view. Russia invaded Georgia in 2008 when George Bush was president. Russia took Crimea in 2014 when Barack Obama was president. Russia has now invaded Ukraine with Joe Biden as president. However, when Donald Trump was president, Russia did not seize any territory from any of its neighbors. During his 4 years, speaking of Donald Trump, during his 4 years in office, Trump not only successfully deterred Russia from acting against Ukraine, he effectively deterred a lot of bad behavior across our entire planet. He focused on ending America's foreign wars rather than launching new ones. At the same time, he brokered the Abraham Accord to expand peace in the Middle East. And the article goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with some major facts in relationship to when Donald Trump was president and what took place and what did not. So I'm going to ask several questions and introduce our guest today. So the question is it possible that Ukraine will survive? Can Ukraine survive with the limited war power that they have? Can Ukraine survive when they are almost now circled? Putin is eating away at the borders around Ukraine, now at the southern border, right at the top of the Black Sea, if you look at a geographical map. He is encircling Ukraine with military forces out of Russia. So the question is, will Ukraine survive? Will this war morph into World War III? Will Israel be drawn into the Russian invasion of Ukraine? Will this encourage Xi of China to take Taiwan? Should America declare a no-fly zone over Ukraine? That's being begged for by Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. Should America declare a no-fly zone? That's a question that we need to answer. Will the Biden administration cut off Russian oil? If so, why? And if not, why not? What does the Bible say about Russia's war in Ukraine? Ladies and gentlemen, our world's in chaos and confusion at this very moment. I have watched for the past number of days, and I don't have one dime in the stock market. But I watched the stock market, and it's rallying one day, and it's plummeting the next day. I watched the price of gold and precious metals skyrocket. I watched the price of crude oil skyrocket. And we're watching the purses, the pocketbooks, and the finances of Americans absolutely plummet and be deteriorated. And it's as a result of what's taking place in Ukraine and on the national market, a national platform. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I want to introduce our very special guest today. We've got Daryl Constantine with us. Daryl is running for on the Republican platform for president. 2024 election, and there are a lot of questions that Daryl and I are going to talk about today in relationship to that. Daryl is a Christian, loves the Lord, places his faith and trust and confidence in what God is doing and how God is going to carry this out. Daryl, thank you for being with us today. Looking forward to what God is going to say through us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you as always for bringing such critical information to the American people. it's an honor to be here with you, as always, and I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Well, I'm thankful. Darrell, if you would take just a minute, I know you well. Our folks that are listening do not. Tell our listeners something about yourself. What brought you to this place in life where you have placed your name in the hat, so to speak, that you're willing to run for this high office? What is the motivation? Something about your life and your background that our listeners would be intrigued with hearing.
Well, it's pretty simple. I grew up watching a Republican Party that refused to confront the major issues facing the nation and the attack on the American people that was going on. I watched them respond to a leftward march led by the Democrats with exactly the wrong strategy. The strategy has been to emphasize economics and to retreat on culture, and that is, in fact, the wrong thing. If you were to save one thing, you must defend the culture. We must reassert a Christian culture, the culture of Christ. We see now what happens when that retracts. We very quickly have the culture of Satan, which is the popular culture not only of America, but by association, essentially most of the rest of the world. And watching this, growing up as a young man, I said to myself, well, if they don't figure it out by the time I'm 35, I'm going to have to give it a shot. And that's where we are. I am now 35 years old. I am a natural-born U.S. citizen. I've lived here for – been here for 14 years. So by those specifications, I meet the qualifications that are required to run for president. And this really isn't so much about me running for president. It is, in fact, about us running for president. Us, we the American people, representing ourselves, having true representative government. And so what makes me special is really I'm not special. I'm an ordinary American citizen. I see what's going on, and I see that the party, which is the party that is the de facto representative of the American people, the Republican Party, has refused to enact the type of meaningful policy that is needed to protect our nation. As you've alluded to, we now find ourselves in dire straits. We are in deep danger. We are looking at the loaded barrel of a gun, and if we do not quickly course correct, we're not going to make it very much longer because we have very clearly invoked God's wrath and judgment. It is hanging over our nation. It is rolling in, and we continue to march forward. And as the Republican Party, now we talk about these things and we joke about the woke agenda, but what has the platform, what has the party really put forward to push back on these things? Nothing. We are still, from a policy perspective, we're not addressing the root problems. We need to do it. We need to do it. We need to do it now. We need a new platform. We need a proper, masculine, robust, paternal Republican Party, a true right wing to provide a proper counterbalance to the left and to get the nation back on track. As you've alluded to, if we don't do that and we don't do it quickly, there might not be much of a future, if any at all.
Darrell, you touched on that. What are some of the things, if we could do this, and then we'll double back with some of the other things that we have on the agenda for us to discuss. What are some, in your opinion, what are some of the major, major policy changes that will be a tectonic change that we must do if we're going to go in the right direction? What are some of those policy changes?
Well, some things that are very important that you alluded to, talking about how we have moved away from truth, how we have outlawed truth, and that comes from consequences of legal rulings. Okay, sodomite marriage creates a precedent for this type of confusion. Mm-hmm. And a pattern that we're going to see across the board is that when Christian authority retracts, we don't get neutrality. What we get very quickly is the enemy comes in and asserts their authority. So now we are living under a pro-sodomite authority on a cultural perspective, which has been empowered by legally by Hodges Obergefell and by those decisions. So we need to first, we need to set the record straight. We need to get our laws back in order. And if we have people sitting on the benches that are not willing to implement what is clear law, then they need to be removed. And we see a lot of these situations. We have things that need to be addressed. We have a situation in Hollywood. Everybody knows this. All conservatives, we've spoken about this. We've written flowery op-eds for 20 or 30 years about the academic institutions, Hollywood, how they are brainwashing the American people, how they are asserting their values over ours. And my question to Republicans that all seem to be in agreement about this is, all right, and what is your solution for that? And the solution that I always hear is, well, we need free market alternatives. We need a, you know, we need a conservative network. And yes, of course we do. But the reality is the level of entrenchment by the enemy on these territories, there's not enough time to wait 20 or 30 years for a free market alternative to crop up. We need to deal with these things directly. We need to recognize that Hollywood is essentially engaging operationally as a domestic terror organization against the American people, as are the academic institutions. We do have laws on the books that are very clear about sexual abuse of minors. And anybody that teaches a child before they're old enough to have a sexual identity that gender is a choice, they are very clearly sexually abusing minors and need to be prosecuted and held accountable by the law. This is how the Republican Party needs to address these things. When we are in the office of the Oval Office, when we occupy the presidency, our Department of Justice needs to be going into the academic institutions, drawing a clear line in the sand and making it clear to the academics that this is not going to be tolerated, needs to be stopped and removed root and branch. Anybody that fails to do that needs to be held accountable to the law. Same thing in Hollywood. Waging war, a one-sided war against the American people, the academic and the media elites, is unacceptable. And if I have to tune through the entire station list and I can't find a single thing that isn't insulting the true Christian identity of this nation, then something's got to be done. And adding another channel to the 500 to water it out, that's not quick enough. We need to send the military into Hollywood if necessary to remove these peoples, to re-implement standards. And I know that these ideas scare people. They seem very bold. You know, the reality is 50 or 60 years ago, we had things in place. We had the Hays Codes, as an example. We had Bible study in school, as an example. Yeah. And we removed these things. And there are things about the Hays Codes that we perhaps now see maybe not so palatable, and not to perhaps go exactly back to that. But what happened? What happened when we removed the basic Christian ethical standards from society? Well, very quickly, now, again, as I alluded to earlier, we now have the inverse. Now we have Hollywood instituting their own quotas of what is required to be in programming, what is required now, where once it was not allowed to show depictions of sodomite relationships, now it is required. Now, if you're going to produce something that it shows not only a depiction, but a favorable depiction. So it's a myth to think that we can remove standards and authority. And we have seen that myth play out. And the premise of the Republican Party over the past 20 or 30 years is that if we could just go back to neutral, things would be all right. The path forward is to just step back, to just get government out of the way. And then things would go back. But what you don't understand is that we are here because we did that.
That's right.
We are here because we stepped back and wanted to be Mr. Easygoing Libertarian. And now we very quickly see this. So what we have to do now is not continue fighting for neutrality and continuing to fight to be a gray, meaningless blob that doesn't stand for anything meaningful. No, we need to bring authority and ethics back in. We have to match the left. We have to confront them with our policies and platforms because they're in it everywhere.
That's right.
Every single thing has been tainted and corrupted. You can't find a corporate entity in this country. You go to your website, you're not going to find something about encouraging diversity or inclusivity, right? And what does that really mean? We know what that means. Mm-hmm. It means preferential treatment for groups that by and large, vote Democrat at the expense, by and large, of a group that doesn't vote Democrat. So they're already in all of these sectors, okay? And the damage that they have done, they have transformed the nation. They have radically transformed the nation. And the Republican Party, the so-called conservative movement, has conserved nothing. Sure. That is where we are now. We have conserved nothing. So the mindset of playing defense, thinking about conserving things, we don't have that liberty anymore because there's no ground left to conserve. We have to become aggressive and we have to go into attack mode. We have to be creating and crafting policies aimed around recapturing lost territory and reasserting the spiritual identity of this nation, which must be Christian. And we now see exactly what happens when it is not.
And if we fail to be salt and light, as Christians, Daryl, we have failed to be obedient to the scripture. The Lord Jesus said, ye are the salt of the world, ye are the light of the world, ye are the salt of the earth, and if the salt's lost its savor, it has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And we find that's where we are today. But you touched on several things there that trigger some thoughts. It was the Jimmy Carter administration that gave us the U.S. Department of Education. And it's through the U.S. Department of Education that we have the mandates that the CRT, that's the critical race theory, be taught, that LGBTQ be taught, that the sodomite agenda be carried out, that the Planned Parenthood agenda be carried out. In fact, most of our schools today, Daryl, whether it's grade school, high school, or the college or university system, if it's a state system, it is carrying out the mandates of the pro-death group out there, and of those that are wanting to water down and destroy, like the Project 1619, the CRT. And yet we have Rona Daniels, I believe is her name, the head of the National Republican Party, that brags about the fact that with the Republicans, we have a big tent. And she has just gotten through about a month ago inviting, her words, inviting all the LGBTQ agenda people to come under the tent of the Republican Party. Does that does exactly what you're saying. It further waters down and disintegrates what we should be standing for as a nation. Right. So let's go back to some fundamentals. Should we have a U.S. Department of Education? With the President Trump, he'd already given instructions to, at that time, his appointee for the U.S. Department of Education to start dismantling the U.S. Department of Education. That was not done. How can that be done? Should that be done? Would that resolve part of the problems that we're seeing academically that are destroying our kids? In fact, Rush Limbaugh used to call it giving kids a mush head, destroying the brain. And that's what we see taking place in our school system. Would that be part of the agenda to help with changing America to where God would be pleased with us?
Well, this is a good example of where my line of thinking is a little bit different than where Republicans have been traditionally. So respectfully, my response to that situation, because this is a great example of our Republican solution, is to, send back to the communities to dismantle the large national program, which is certainly an improvement from a large national program that is pushing evil mm-hmm. on our youth.
Right.
The problem is that approach might produce better results in a place like California, but it still leaves a lot of children in places like California that are going to be exposed to the same demonic agenda that they're currently being subjected to. So my solution is actually not to retract the authority. It's to recognize that we have, in fact, brought this authority in, and we have this now over the nation. And what I want to do, rather than dismantle the thing, I want to take the evil out, and I want to top down from a national scale. I want to project a Christian-based education that makes sure that every American citizen is given the gospel of Jesus Christ in their classroom, along with proper history about this nation and proper essentials, math, reading, arithmetic, etc. So we need to take what's there, take this infrastructure, and pump it full of good stuff. Because if we don't, if we just focus on our own, we're leaving a lot of children exposed continually to this stuff. Great example about this big tent about the Republican Party. This is such a toxic concept. You know, the stuff that the establishment invests in, these walk away movements, this is what we're investing in. This is what we show as progress. We talk about, oh, look at this. Look at all of these, the homosexuals that are fed up with the Democrats, and they are walking away from it. That is not a thing for us to be cheerleading, okay?
Right.
What we want to celebrate is people walking away from lives of sin. And when they do that, they can join us in the tent here of the Republican Party. Fundamentally have to accept that these things are not good. And when we don't do that, it's one of two things. We are doing the same thing we do across the board. We are changing the standards to accommodate the negative changes being done by the Democrats, when instead what we need to be doing is instituting proper change so that we can implement and affect lives effectively.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Daryl Kane, a Republican candidate for presidency in the 2024 election. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
V. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.